Michael, so good to be here this morning. So good to be here and healthy. You know, that's what the doctor told me. I'm healthy. I didn't think I was, but said I'm healthy. It's good to be healthy. Isn't that right? Yeah. We moved South Salem, and boy, since we did, how long have we been living over there? Has it been that long? I got lonely. Nothing's changed, just it got lonely. I love you guys, and you're not calling me. You didn't before, but I'm away now. About every, most days when I leave the house or I'm coming back, there's an elderly couple walking. They got a couple dogs. And the other day, I was leaving the house. This might have been last week, maybe the week before, I can't remember. And I saw them, and they were picking blackberries and eating them. It just looked so nice. I mean, older couple, no doubt retired, no doubt not a care in the world. That's what people think when they retire, you know. If I can just retire, then I won't have a care in the world. And it looked that way, and it looked so pleasing to me. Because I was feeling so much stress that day, and when I left, I was just feeling stress. And you know, we're supposed to be praying, and so I try, but it's, I don't know, God went somewhere. He moved north or something, I don't know. And so I said to myself, oh, that would be so nice to not have any responsibility. And then I started laughing out loud this time. I said the other to myself, then I started laughing out loud because I know better than that. I know really where life is. And I know what produces joy. I know where blessings come from. And I know what it takes. If you're in your life and you don't have a weight for someone else, then you're not where God wants you to be. You know, the Bible tells us that the disciples were trying to say, okay, hey, let me be on the right, let me be on the left. And Jesus said, you don't even know what you're talking about. Because they were seeking a position, they were seeking to be great in the kingdom of God. And he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. And he said, the greatest in the kingdom are the servants of all. And I have people in my family that I care about so much, and I feel the weight for them. Lily called the other night, and we did FaceTime with her, and she was sobbing. I'm sure she was just homesick. And she and could hardly talk, but she was doing a lot of talking. And when we hung up, it was like, oh, man, it just beat me up inside to see her like that. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. But it's those kind of things that we're to have in our life. You have that for your family. Hopefully you have. Hopefully you haven't disconnected emotionally and disconnected from your family, even though you have not left them, but you have disconnected emotionally. And that you feel the weight for your family. Moms and dads, I hope you feel the weight for your kids. I mean, that would be the natural thing that they're going to make it in life. I'll never forget. My girls were in high school, and they were doing fairly good. I mean, they look good anyway, at least from my perspective. And they were doing pretty good, and we had a meeting about, we had a private school here. We had a meeting about the school. Should we continue it? Should we discontinue? And someone said, well, I think we need to keep doing it. Look, Pastor Dave, kids are so spiritual and have a heart for God, and I think that's part of it. And one lady said, she said to everybody and to me, well, in reality, the jury's still out on them. Because once they leave the school, what will they do? And you know what I said? You're absolutely right. And I felt the weight for my kids. I felt the weight for my wife. I mean, husbands, you feel the weight for your wife? Do you feel that thing inside of you that you care about them so much that you want them to have the spiritual life in God and you want them to be healthy and spiritual in Jesus Christ? Do you feel the weight of that, or you just take it for granted? Wives, do you just take your husband for granted? Or do you feel the weight to pray for him, that God would help him be a man of God and do the will of God and the purpose of God? Do you feel the weight of that? Let me tell you, if you don't feel those kinds of weight in your life, then you're not positioned where you need to be in Jesus Christ, and you're probably just living a self-centered life. That's pretty simple. That's probably what's happening. Now, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to try to encourage you to say to you and to me, hey, we need to start feeling the weight for our families. Because I'm going to talk about prayer, but you ought to also feel the weight about your church and your pastor. You ought to care about. Do you think that I just get up here and it's just so easy to preach? Man, every week, fear and trembling. When I miss it and I know it and I feel the weight of it all, pray for me. You know, Paul said that. Hey, pray for me that I have a clear word. Pray for me that I can speak boldly. And so you need to feel the weight for your pastor that he would speak the word of God. I read Joshua last week, just the first part of it. Joshua was the number two guy, kind of under Moses. And so it was easy for him. He just did what Moses told him to do. Now Moses is dead. He's gone. Now the weight of Israel is on him. Now he is the brink, he's at the edge of the Jordan River. And on the other side is the land that is full of milk and honey, grapes this big. Well, not the grape, but the, you know. It's an incredible place of wealth, of so much, plentiful. Now there are a few giants over there. And there are some armies that have swords and whatnots and spears. And Israel, they ain't got none of that stuff. And so God's speaking to him, it's about time to cross the river. Okay. Now the problem is Moses isn't with them. And Moses, he's the guy that had the staff. You know, he's the guy in the Red Sea. Put the staff in there and it opens up. Joshua doesn't have a staff. He doesn't have anything like that. What is he going to have to trust in? What is he going to have to put his hope in? And so he prays. And I know that Joshua felt the weight, and maybe a lot of insecurity, probably absolutely a lot of insecurity, because God had to tell him, hey, you be courageous now, you be courageous. And he says something incredible. He says God tells him, because I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Have you heard that before? That's what Jesus tells us. I won't leave you nor forsake you. Now listen to what he says. Wherever you put your feet, I'm going to give that to you. Now, so I mean, if God said to you, hey, I am going to pave the church floor with $100 bills, wall to wall, $100 bill, and every one that you step on is yours. I know you would send your kids. No. You would send your kids, come on, let's go. And boy, you'd be running around as much as you can to step on so you can get that money. God told Joshua, wherever you step is going to be yours. I'm going to give that to you. The problem is, the first steps toward the land was a big river that was in the way. And he didn't have the staff. Well, he really didn't have the staff. The staff was in this case, the Ark of the Covenant. And so God tells him, see, this is all about, hey, wherever you step, I'm going to give to you. And now he says, okay, so the first step is you get the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant and have them walk into the water and rest in there. Now, I don't know why he said rest, but he used that term rest. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua goes in, the priests go in, and they stand there. And they rest in the water. And then all of a sudden, whoa. Do you think it was no big deal to them? I can hear Lonnie, you know, the old guy walking along. Huh? And Lonnie, this is how Lonnie says when something really great happens, he goes, whoa. And I can see the river opening up, whoa. And I can almost see Lonnie taking his little thing he walks with, the water, and stepping back, whoa. Whoa. I mean, amazement thing that took place because they took a step. Took a little step. And in the step, they rested. Now, I want to talk about prayer. Because prayer is taking steps and claiming land or claiming things. Prayer is also getting in the presence of God and just honoring Him and worshiping Him. And one of the reasons, though, why we don't have things from God is because we don't take the steps. Now, you know, a good question is, why would God want us to take the steps? Because Jesus says that God knows what you need. So why would He say, take steps? Why would He say to pray? Why would He teach us that when you pray, when He says, I already know what you have need of? What is that all about? And Paul knew that, and he writes about it, and he tells us in Ephesians, praying always with all kinds of prayer for the saints. Why do that when we're taking those steps? Why take those steps? Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to, or in your notes there, in Romans 11. Did I get a late start? Or was that just a long introduction? Yikes. Romans 11. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. How inscrutable His ways. Inscrutable means that you can't know His ways. It's so beyond your thinking and ideas. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For in Him, for from Him, and through Him, and in Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. For from Him and through him and to him are all things. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Let me read a scripture in Colossians, because he says the same thing, but he says it in the context of creation. Listen to this. For by him all things were created. By him. What's that scripture? From him. For by him, listen to this. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The creation came from heaven, it went through him, and it was for him. The idea was God. God came down, made creation happen, and it was for him. Now that's how everything works. It starts with God. Everything starts with God. It doesn't start with you. You thought you came to God because it was your idea? No, everything comes from God. By him, from him, he's the one who placed within you, your heart, a desire, a hunger. God is the one that placed something within you that you begin to move and take little steps toward him. From him, through him, for him, all things. Now, how does that have to do with prayer? From him. From him. You know, God's already done something in you if you're a Christian. He's already placed something of his glory, something of his stirring, something within him that gives you a desire for him and speaks to you, something of a hunger. And Jesus was teaching about that. He said, you know, that the seed plants on different kinds of soils, but there's only one soil that it would take root in. The others kind of, they'd lose that. And most of you are here today because there has been a seed planted within you by God. And he has done something in your life that has created something in you that you have a desire for him. And so you come to church. And most of you come a lot. You come a lot to church. Some of you come not so often. Others come just because you're made to come. Your wife makes you. I almost want to say some names, but I'd be joking if I did. Even though it'd be true, I'd be joking. It's God that does something in us. It's from God. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. From God to us, his love, and then, oh, it stirs something in us. Now we begin to love him. So everything comes from God and what God is doing in our life, the born-again experience. The Spirit of God that came. Maybe you heard sermons. Maybe you were at some type of rally or some type of concert, you know, whatever it might have been. And there was something inside of you that began to stir. And Jesus, the born again experience, is like a wind that would come and then it would leave. You didn't know when it was coming. You didn't know when to leave. And there's a lot of people just like you on that concert, in that church, or whatever. You might have come forward. But there was only a few of you that really got saved. Because just because you say a word doesn't mean, like you say a prayer doesn't mean that you get saved. It's something that the Spirit comes and does something of a miracle inside of you. Well, most of you here have had that miracle take place and you have a desire for God. It comes from God. But then that part that says through God, from God, the Spirit of God, the desire, but through God. Now, there's something that happens through God. There's something that takes place. Here we are. We know Jesus Christ, and there's something that through God that begins to happen. We begin to take those steps through God. He begins to lead us and to guide us, and through God, we begin to take steps toward Him. But you have to take the steps. That's where prayer comes in. That's where seeking His face comes in. Listen to the scripture in Philippians 2. This is the ESV, and then I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Now listen to this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. If you've been around Christianity and the reading of the word, you know what that means. But maybe some have a hard time, and the New Living Translation is so good how they put it. It just sheds a lot of light on it. Listen to this. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Now listen to this. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. That's what you're to do. Through God, you work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Now listen to the next part. And this is because this is why you do or can do the things that you need to do. For God is working in you, giving you the desire through God. For it is God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. It is God. From God, He's already done something incredible within your life. You're born again, you know Him. But now He's working also through Him. He is working in you to take steps. But you have to take the steps. Wouldn't it have been nice for Joshua as he's looking over Jordan and he says, oh, there's some armies over there. Go get them. And all these angels come and destroys everyone. And they walk out and they live happily ever after. It didn't work that way. They came to a wall, a big wall, a place called Jericho. Inside that wall were a lot of armed people, and they didn't have army like that. And so, God, send your holy angels, kill them all, kill them all. They didn't do that. But they did pray. You see, you got to pray through Him. Through Him, He's going to do miracles, but you have to take the steps. And God began to speak to Moses or to Joshua and tell him what to do. You walk around that thing 10 times, blow some horns, you know, and then, hey, all's good. Now, let me tell you, that's a Bible story that I believe is absolutely true. But those were real people. I'm just telling you. Now, the people who lack faith, they've been killed off. 40 years walking around the mountain because they didn't want to take the land. And now we have a new breed of people. But some of the new ones, you know, they're just like you. They have faith, but it's weak. Joshua, you want us to do what? Walk around once a day, 7 days, and on the seventh day, seven times, something like that? What? What, are we going to start a new brass band or something? What are we doing? Are we going to try to woo them by our musical ability? No, and you know the story that those walls come tumbling down and God caused victory, but they had to take the steps. And that's what prayer does. That's what prayer does. Read that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:1, working together with Him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now listen, he says, working together with him. It wasn't Paul just going through, okay, God, do something, man, this is a bummer. No. He's working with God. When God created man in Genesis, you can read this, he said, I want you to rule with me. That's what he said. And so we come to him as Christians, and now we're to rule. Hey, we're to rule with him in this universe. Let those aliens come. We'll take care of them. We're ruling with God, the universe. But when you rule with God, you got to take some steps. And part of that is prayer. Steps. One step you made today. You came to church. And you put yourself in a place to where God could bless you. God could come down and touch your life. Maybe stir you in a little way. You took a step. You came to church. Maybe that's a baby step for some. Maybe for some of you it was a hard, hard thing because your spouse was a stinker. How many of you, when you get ready for church and on the way to church, you've argued before and been upset? More hands go up. Okay, yeah. That's why we drive two cars. No, I'm kidding. Let me tell you, there's an enemy of your soul as well, and so you have to war against that who wants to kill and destroy you. And so you take a baby step and you go to church. Excuse me, let me take that back. I don't want to say baby step, but you take a step and you go to church. And you put yourself into a place. There's some of you on Wednesday nights will come for youth and for children. And you take that step to serve him. Let me tell you, there's blessing that comes with that. And you don't even realize. You don't even realize how much God is behind you and he's working in your life. He's doing great things because you're taking baby steps. Let me take that back. Not baby steps. You're taking steps. There's things that we have to do. It's through him. Yeah, he's working in us. But remember, it says he is working in us. He gives us a desire and he gives us power. But you have to take the steps. That's why he says, work out your salvation. How does New Living put it? It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard. Take those steps. And then God's going to bless you. I'm just telling you, he'll give you more desire and more ability, more power in your life. You say, well, oh, really? Oh, yeah, the Bible actually says that. Peter, when he wrote the church, he said that he wanted grace to be multiplied in the life. And that's where you get the ability. And that's where you get the power, his grace. You thought you came up along your way. You feel so good about yourself because you do something for God. That's God working in you. Why do we get all puffed up and proud? It got all arrogant that we think we're doing something. Remember, it's from God and through God. It's from God, it's through God, and it's for God, for his purpose. You say, well, I had more faith. And there is a measure of faith that God gives us, and some seem to have a greater measure of faith than others, but how about it? Would you like more? No, seriously, would you like some more faith? Would you like some greater faith? Okay, I'm going to give you the secret. But I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. You have to take steps. Listen to this scripture here. It's found in Romans 10. Now, because of time, I'm just going to read the last part. I'll probably kick myself later for just doing it. But listen to this. Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Take steps. Take steps. Now, you know we've talked a lot about reading this, the word of God, the Logos of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. He was the perfect law, the perfect everything. He was the Logos of God. And so the Word of God will give you, increase your faith. Well, that's not exactly what he's saying there. Because the word there is not Logos. It's a different word for word. Did that confuse you, a different word for word? It's not Logos. The word there is wrong. So let me just read that again to you. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Rhema of Christ, the Rhema of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Oh, I'm glad you asked. It says the Rhema of Christ. That's a spoken word from Christ. Let me tell you what he means by that, or what I feel he means by it. We read the Logos. We read about Jesus, and especially in the New Testament, as it begins to clarify so much in the Old Testament. If you're having trouble in the Old Testament understanding things, well, you got to know the New Testament, and it'll clarify so much of the Old Testament. I'm just telling you. It will just make it so much more simpler. You're all messed up, and you think, well, how did God? I don't understand that. I don't get. Well, you get to know the New Testament, and you will understand the Old Testament. It just happens that way. So you read in the New Testament about Jesus Christ. You read the epistles. You read about what Jesus has done, and then Paul gives us encouragement and Peter on how we ought to walk because of what he's done for us. And that's the Logos of God, the studying the Word. But then all of a sudden, something happens through God. From God, through God, God does something that is very special in your life. He speaks to you about something in the Word of God, and it comes alive in you. Now, I have preached in the last 5 years, maybe 7, 8 years. I don't know how many times. This just makes me laugh. It's sad, but it makes me laugh. I have preached and explained the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if I were to go around to you and have you write down what the gospel means, most of you would have a hard time to articulate that. You know why? Because you need a rhema. You need something of Christ speaking that to you. I can give you the Logos, but it's only Christ that can give you the rhema. And the way you get that is you step toward him. You put yourself, you study the Word. You put yourself in church. You listen to the Word of God. You listen to people preach daily. And you can do that nowadays. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. And you read the Bible and you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. And then all of a sudden, oh, God, I never saw that before. A rhema just happened to you. Something special. And all of a sudden, something wonderful happens. Your faith comes up. You have a greater faith in God. And then you go a few weeks and you just pray. You keep stepping toward God. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You get closer and you keep saying that. Then, oh, faith. Faith. And there's some old people here. It's like, they're floating, man. All hell breaks loose in their life, and they have a confidence in God. They hurt, just like you, but they've got a confidence in God. All hell breaks loose in your life, and man, you are down in the dumps forever. They have to go fishing, see if we can catch you. Reel you in. The Rhema of God. The Rhema of Christ as he begins to speak to you. Now you'll make a big mistake by if you feel God has spoke something to you and feel that everyone else needs to have that, you're gonna mess yourself up. See, my responsibility is to preach the word. My responsibility is not to make you live it. That's Will's responsibility. No, we're to preach the word and pray and pray and pray. Okay, prayer is like the one of the most important things that we can do to step toward God. I told you I've been lonely lately. Oh, someone call me. Do you have my phone number, 503? No. 881-4295. Well, I have also preached, and I told God this. I was praying one day, I said, God, I know I have preached that if you get lonely, it's just God calling you to your side. Lord, I'm praying, but I can't find your side. It's like I... Oh, that's funny. You know, your name came up. You know. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, so I'm praying. I'm talking to God. And I tell God, God, I'm lonely, and you just don't seem to care or something. You're not talking back. You're not giving me goosebumps or anything. And I go my way. And so I prayed a few days like that. One day I'm feeling quite stressed, pressure, the weight. And the weight is good, I'm telling you. The weight is good for us to feel. And that's why you need to learn to pray, because when you feel the weight, it should make you pray. And so I go outside in the backyard, and I sit, and I begin to pray. And quite a lengthy prayer. I don't know how long it was, probably 30 to 40 seconds, but it was quite lengthy. I'm kidding. It was some time, several minutes, maybe an hour, and just praying. And I begin to shake. Yeah. Just to shake. Then I realized I was just cold, but I came inside. It's true. In our prayer, you making steps. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do on Tuesday night. Worship team, come on up. You have in your bulletin just a little insert, and I put this together, and people help me, and I just finalize it, and it's not that good, but... It's about Tuesday Night Fight Club, teaching and prayer. And it has what it's all about on the one side. And the other side, when we come together, we're going to worship. And we have prayer together in a large group. And then we break up into groups. And we have two kinds of groups. And we want you to make these steps toward God. And I'm telling you, you won't believe what God might do for you and might do for the church and might do for your family if you'll take these steps. And two groups, what we call an open group. Anyone can go with that anytime. You can come and go as you well please. But then there's what we call a challenge group, and I'm not going to give you the details of that, but that's going to be kind of a closed group, and we want you to join that if you can. If you can't make that kind of commitment, then you read about it, and we'll have you sign up here in a week or two for that. Where you begin in those small groups to help carry the weight for other people. How many here right now just feel the weight of life? Do you feel that? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things going on. There's a lot of hurtful things. And let me tell you, God can bring us, the enemy can bring us down because of the weight of that. But if you'll make steps toward God, draw near to God. Now remember, it's from Him and it's through Him. He's the one working. But if you make those steps toward Him, He will work in a greater way. That's where the blessings come. When Israelites passed over Jordan and they began to take those steps toward God, God did miracles. If they were afraid to put their feet in the water, they would have never been victorious on the other side. So you have to take the steps. come on Tuesday, starting the 18th of September. It's going to be awkward for some of you, but golly, isn't everything awkward for us that we do new? Yeah. The first time I ever preached, I went out and threw up. The second time I threw up. The third time I threw up. Last week was the last time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. In the New Testament and some of the great, incredible things that those disciples or apostles did, sometimes it's hard to realize they were flesh and blood just like we are. And they had trouble just like you and I did. And there's a point in, I think it's Acts 12, when James, the brother of John, you know, I mean, he was one of the main ones. Herod put a sword through him and killed him. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. And so he got Peter. Probably planning on doing the same thing. And he puts Peter in prison. He puts two guards by him. In the middle of the night, things are shaking a little bit. And an angel comes and says, Peter, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. And so Peter got out of there. And what was his first response? Now, he's in trouble. Let me tell you, he had lost a little boldness. You can tell by what is said later on. He had lost a little boldness, and a little nervousness now would come upon him, and he's struggling. He's hurting. James has been killed. He was a good, good friend. But what does he do? The Bible says this, that he went to his people, his friends. Our friends. And he went to a house where he knew they would be there. And you know what? They were there. And you know what they were doing? They were praying for Peter. Because when you're part of a church, that's what you do. You pray for each other. And you put yourself in places where you can do that together. And so Peter goes knocking on the door. And a girl hears the knock, opens, looks out, and she sees this Peter. She closes it and goes run back and tells him, Peter's out there. And you know what they said, these people of faith and prayer? Nah, you're seeing visions. He's not there. He's in jail. He can't be out there. So Peter keeps knocking, and finally they answered. And they prayed, and the Bible said that great boldness came over him. Oh, church. Let's take some steps in our life. He said, I will give you the land where you walk on. So let's start. These boots are made for walking. And that's just what it'll do. And one of these dates will boots. No, never mind. Anyway. So, yeah, thank you. Lord. Oh, God, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. Lord, I thank you for your word, and may it come alive to us. Lord, would you speak those things in our life that might just turn us on for you and your kingdom. Help us take those steps towards you. How we love you, and we thank you, Lord, your blessing as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.